Good morning, ladies. It's good to be back here, almost at home. But this is our home church, just so you know. This is our home church. That's still my pastor's wife, because we still need a pastor's wife as pastor's wife. Okay, first things first, raise your hand if you do not have a handout. I have my daughter and my adopted daughter ready to help. I told Clancy, you're sitting up here with us. You match me. You're part of the family. So anyway, and if you don't have a candy, okay, the two essential pieces this morning. So keep your hands up. They'll get them to you. Another essential piece of information, if you are allergic to peanut butter or peanuts, these are Reese's Pieces, okay? So raise your hand because I do have a chocolate substitute. Well, wait. Okay, so let's make sure everybody gets their stuff first because I'm getting confused. This is why I write everything out and I didn't write this out. Did I leave those with you, Ada? Okay, good. Okay, so now that you got your... Raise your hand if you're allergic to peanut butter, okay? All right, hopefully I have enough. I don't know. I'm trained by Miss Robin, so everything is theme related. I'm speaking on an essential piece. What candy is that? Reese's Pieces, right, ladies? Okay, so I can't help myself, okay? No. So keep your hands up. Hopefully I have like five. So, okay, so anyways. And there is a method to my madness, believe it or not. Okay, so I bring chocolate because of all these ladies, I'm destined to say something that's going to upset somebody. You know what I mean? It's just, we're ladies. But you can't get mad at somebody that gives you chocolate, right? Okay? So, and then I do handouts because I myself am more apt to remember stuff if I'm writing it down. But also, if you are writing down, you're not staring at me the whole time, okay? So... my secret's out. Okay, that's why I do what I do. Okay, so anyways, moving along. God sees the big picture, and we don't. And a lot of times we want to, don't we? You know, but it's scary. Like if we all knew the future, like this, okay, 2020. I mean, who would have wanted, like, okay, let's just all go into hibernation and come back out on the other side. You know what I'm saying? We, as much as we want to know the big picture and what God's doing, He wisely knows what we can handle and what we can't. So. But in doing that, what is the big picture? When you think about it, like we don't see it, God does. But what is the end game? What is our purpose? So I think I have this in your handout, but Isaiah 43:7 answers that for us. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. So this verse kind of tells us we are created to bring God glory. That is the big picture for every gal in here. The ultimate goal. That is our purpose. That's the lens, so to speak, that we should view the world through. We are created to bring Him glory. And so in this giant puzzle we call life, we're just like one piece, right? You know what I mean? One little piece in here. And as a tiny piece, how do I bring God glory? Am I even important to the great scheme of things? You know, like you see this whole big picture of life. I'm just like this. I play a little part. But am I essential? And regardless of who you are, where you live, what season of life, we had a skit last night, you're in, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. And that, emphatically, across the board, all across here, we all are important. We're all essential. So we're going to take a look at how, as a tiny piece in God's puzzle, we are essential and how we can bring God glory. So we are literally, you can see on your outline, we're literally going to take the word piece apart into little pieces, tear it apart, and then we're going to see how. Hopefully when you leave, you'll have something, if anything else, just be encouraged to know you are important. Every one of us have an essential piece. But first, let's pray. Dear Father, I just come before you, and I'm so thankful for your grace, for your mercy, and just encouragement last night, just to be reminded of the marvelous grace of God through Messina's lesson. Just thank you for that, Father. And I pray you'd be with each lady here. We all have come from various situations, homes. We all have our stories to tell. But we're all essential pieces. And I pray you would just use me to be a blessing and help to these ladies. In your name we pray. Amen. So turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and we're going to stay there for a little bit for this first little part. But the very first part, P, is for precious. That's the word that we're looking for there, precious. P for precious. I am precious in God's sight. And verse 17 of Psalm 139 says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And we all struggle. Every lady in here at some point in your life, we've all struggled with feeling worthless or unimportant or not valuable. And can I just say that's a lie from the devil? He wants us to focus, because that still just brings the focus here, because you're thinking about how worthless you are and how all that. So I want to counter that lie with these two truths. And the first truth is we are valuable to God. We are valuable to God. He so much so that he gave his son for us. He gave his very best. That's how valuable we are to God, ladies. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I know Miss Dina and Miss Robin both brought it up last night. And if you are here and you've never accepted that wonderful gift of salvation, if you get nothing else out of that, do that. Because you are so valuable to God. And all, you know, you just, God so loved, put your name in there that he paid for your sin. So you wouldn't have to spend an eternity in hell paying for it. And do that. Get that settled. You're talking about the other kind of peace that only God gives. That's where, leave with that. The other truth that to counter the devil's lie of worthlessness, not only are we valuable to God, but we are very much in his thoughts. We are very much in his thoughts. He is thinking of every one of these ladies in here. He knew on this day, where you would be. You are very much in his thoughts. Verse 17 and 18 of Psalm 139. I'll read 17 again. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." Not only are we precious to God, ladies, but we are individually unique. And I know that's a mouthful. Yeah, so I didn't leave the next one blank. So you can see that it was a mouthful. Look underneath the one that says, "I am created individually unique." So you can copy it there, okay? But we are individually unique. The same chapter, 14 through 16, says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them." Isn't that? I love Psalm 139. I used it kind of like for my theme all last year in the ladies' meetings, because we are all individually unique, and I love that. And we're all females in this room, and we have a lot in common. And that's why I love ladies' meetings. We all need good preaching. Amen. That's why we get it 3 times a week, ladies, okay? But once a year, it's nice just to get amongst ladies and go, she knows exactly what I'm going through. You know, we're all females. Some of us are wives. Some of us are moms. Some of us are homeschool moms. Amen. Go homeschool moms. I'm on my last one through, starting high school. And it's a bittersweet time. It really is. You're like, oh, I'm almost empty nesters. Hence why Dina and I were crying over there in the skit. What in the world? I'm like empty nesters. I'm almost there. But the flip side is like, 4 more years, I'm done homeschooling. Hallelujah. You know, okay, anyway, just saying, we understand. Us homeschool moms understand each other. Some of you are empty nesters. Some of them are grandmas. But we're all daughters. We have a lot, and we could keep going on all the things we have in common. There's a lot of stories we could swap. Oh, yeah, I had that happen. Oh, yeah, I had that. But regardless of how many similar things we share, there are no two of us that are exactly alike. And that's why this theme is so awesome, I think, because, you know, just like a puzzle has no two identical, or it's not supposed to, have no two identical pieces. I've done some that I'm like, seriously, this almost fits in this hole, but it's not just quite right. Okay, but there are no two of us that are exactly alike. Every one of us in this room are individually unique. We are. We are custom designed by God, and I love that. We are each a unique creation of God. We are each a unique creation of God. He custom designed you, every part, the parts we like and the ones we don't. But God still made us that way. I don't know how many times I'm like reaching for something. I'm like, 3 inches, Lord, if you'd just give me 3 more inches, I could reach this stuff without having to climb on something. But anyway, so the parts we like and we don't like, it's a unique creation of God. We are each an essential piece in God's plan. We are each an essential piece in God's plan, in his puzzle. He has a custom place just for you and a spot that only you can fill. So we are precious. We are individually unique. And also, we are equal in the eyes of God. Isn't that a blessing? We are equal in the eyes of God. We are equal in the sight of God. He views each of us the same. And I know we just spent all this time saying we're all different, but this truth is just as important, that while we are all unique creations made by God, We are all equal in his sight. So therefore, we're loved equally by God. He doesn't love one of us more than the other. He does not show favoritism. He's the perfect father. So we are loved by God equally. We are valued by God equally. We are loved by God equally. We are valued by God equally. And we are given God's mercy and grace equally. Amen. Isn't that great? I'm so glad that you don't, like, there's no fear of us running out of our limit. Like, oh, sorry, you used it up for the year. You got to wait till next year for more mercy and grace. Oh, I'm so thankful. That's not the case, or we'd blow up by January, right, ladies? But these truths also help keep us on track from thinking that we're, because God loves us equally, we're valued by him equally, so there's none of us that are more important to God than others. So it kind of keeps us to know that we aren't worthless. We are valuable to him. But also it keeps us from thinking that we're better than someone else. Because we do that. Isn't that crazy how our flesh works? We'll go from one minute to like, oh, so worthless, I keep failing. The next one, go, at least I'm not like her. Judgy eyes, you know. So just, we know us ladies, don't we? Okay. So always remember and never forget that but for the grace of God, there go I. That's the only difference between us and the gal down the road doing drugs. Okay, it's God's grace. It's nothing that we can do. Sorry, I'm not used to wearing lapels. It's nothing we do, but it's all God's grace. So thankful for that. So not only are we precious individuals, equal in God's eyes, but let's not forget that we're also a child of God. I mean, he is our father. We are a child of God. We are children of God. So we didn't just get saved. Yes, I'm your father, and I'll leave you on your own. He's forever. There's nothing we can do to separate him from being our father. There's nothing. There's no sin so great that now our fellowship can be hindered. Just like when your kids, you know, they're just like throwing their fit and being rebellious. The fellowship's not as sweet as it could be, but they're still your kids. You're not going to disown. I'm so thankful that God does not disown us. So it's who. We forget. We are the children of God, but we forget who our father is. So who. And then what? Because we forget also that whatever it is we can bring to God, whatever it is, how small or how big, we can bring it to God. So who, what, and when. We forget we can come to him whenever. Isn't that awesome? In the middle of the night, you know, in the middle of the day, whatever it is, wherever, whenever. Matthew 7, 9 through 11 says, "Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if you ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to you, to them that ask him?" So obviously none of us have been fathers. We're not fathers. Okay, thankful we got all this settled. Okay, but hallelujah. Some things you don't have to address coming to me like this. I'm like, thank you. You guys got that figured out. Praise the Lord. Okay, but many of us are moms. And just think of it. I know we can't relate, like, I don't know how a father thinks, but we do know as a mom how a mom thinks. We love our kids. I mean, we want the best for them. We want our children to feel like they can come to us, you know, with whatever, whenever, and bring whatever to us. And how much more? God is the perfect parent. And how much more does he want to do for us? So just remember that when you're doubting whether he loves you, whether you feel worthless, valuable, or whatever to God, just think, he's my father. And how much I love my kids, and I am by far not the perfect parent, but he is. And so I'm so thankful for that. So, ladies, we are precious to God. We are individually unique, designed by God, made individually unique by God. We are all equal in his eyes. And we are a child of God. And lastly, and the point that I want to spend the most time on, is we are essential. We are essential. And I want you guys to leave here with nothing else to realize you are important. And not even just to God, but to your church that you came with, to your pastor's wife that you came. You are an essential piece. Wherever you are at, whatever season of life you are in, you are essential in God's plan. If you still have breath, if you are still alive on this planet, then that, rest assured that God is not done with you. Your purpose is not done. You are still here. He is still wanting to use you. You still have a reason for being here. And it's truth that he's not done. So let's start off the bat with wives, right? Okay, wives, you are essential to your husband. And I'm not up here. I'm by no means a marriage expert. No, I don't have the claim that I have all the answers. Do not. But I do have two verses that the truth I want to share, the truth found them literally have been lifesavers in my marriage. It has been like a night and day difference, wrapping my brain. And I still, I'm still claiming these truths. The Lord still reminds me of them. But first one is Proverbs 14:1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. So I would just say, ladies, build up your husband. Don't tear him down. Okay? Be his biggest cheerleader. I'm telling you, and just remember, I heard a lady say this once at a ladies' meeting, was that you're all on the same team. And sometimes we forget that because, you know, more than likely your spouse is your opposite, because opposites do attract. Okay? So, hint, you know, the part that, you know, drives you crazy. Okay? But you're on the same team. Okay? You got the two together. You're on the same team. And the next thing is show him unconditional respect. Hence why I gave you guys the chocolate. Just saying, remember, I gave you chocolate, okay? Because that is not a popular thing to hear or say right now in this day and age. It never has been, really, because it's not. But you're like, what? Are you crazy? Unconditional respect. You don't know my husband. You don't understand this man I'm married to. But I do know us ladies, though. And I know every woman in here expects her husband to love her unconditionally, don't we? I mean, like, if, you know, we would be appalled to hear our husband say, I'm only going to love you when you deserve it. Because we don't always deserve it, do we, ladies? Let's be honest. There's sometimes okay. We're a bear to live with. We are, okay? I'm just saying, this is where the facts are. So, we expect unconditional love from our husbands. So, what right do we have? Or how do we, you know, like, I'm only going to respect you when you deserve it. Okay? So, just chew on that for a little bit, okay? So, build him up. Build him up and realize, build him up, don't tear him down, and show him unconditional respect. Here's the other verse, which is kind of interesting. I've been married 30 years now, which is blows my mind. But the Christmas before I got married, my in-laws, in fact, my sister-in-law is here, they all gave me a Bible. The Christmas before I married my husband, they gave me a Bible and wrote a note in it, welcome me to the family. That was so sweet. That was like one of the coolest things. That was so neat. My mother-in-law shared this verse with me, and it's Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And my point here is to bring your husband to God in prayer. So if God holds the heart of a king, president, or whatever, in his hand, you know, he can hold our husband's heart in his hand and kind of turn it and change it where it needs to. Not if, because we know what's going to happen. Your husband has something in his life that you think he needs to change, or that's driving you crazy, or he makes a decision you don't agree with. He's like, this is not a good decision. Take it to God. I'm not saying that you communicate with your husband. I'm not saying that. But not you taking it upon yourself to show him the error of his ways. It usually doesn't work, ladies. I'm just telling you. Even though I got this before I got, you know, thinking, but man, good, I got this. No, it took me 10 years into my marriage before I realized, oh, that's what she was talking about. I'm slow. Okay, I'm like, oh, I see now. I'm supposed to be talking to him, but, you know. Okay. Yeah, so you keep the communication good, but he has a mom. He doesn't need another. You know what I mean? You're his wife, okay? So it's not for you to train your sons to be good husbands, but not your husband to be a good husband. You know, okay, take it to God. And I've seen him do it time and time again. I'm just, wow, because shocker, God's word works. You know what I mean? And sometimes we forget that. But okay, so moving along. Not only are wives essential, but moms, you're essential to your children. And I'm not going to spend a long time here because we know how essential. Like, you know, you're here and you're wondering what's it going to be like when I get home, because husband's been, or the kids, and you're like, home. Or, you know, it's easy to remember that you're essential to your kids' life. But I will say this, at this point in my life, you know, when you're a mom of teenagers in college and married daughter who's also with me. I'm so excited about that. Anyways, stay connected with them. So stay connected. And it's kind of funny. I was thinking about this last night when I was going over my notes, that it's the easiest time in history to stay connected, isn't it? But what we do is we stay connected out there to across, you know, all this. But then in our home, we lose connection because we're so connected out. You know what I mean? So you'd think, oh, we have all this. It's easy to stay connected. Is it, though? You know what I mean? And it's just like the devil to go, yeah, they got it easy, but I'm going to sidetrack them here, you know what I mean? And they'll be so busy being connected over to this person, over their friends, or Facebook, or Instagram, or Twitter, or whatever. So stay connected with them. Be present in their lives. And I don't mean just being in the same room, because I've seen that too. You know, the kids are playing at the park, and I mean, the mom is on the phone the whole time, not even paying it. You know what I mean? So just be present with them, be 100% there. The other thing is be aware. Be aware. Know who their friends are. Know what TV movies they watch. Know what music they're listening to. Be aware. Be aware. And this one I think is just as important. Be real. Be real. Let them know that you blow it, and when you blow it, apologize to your kids. You know, how do you expect them to apologize to their siblings, to their friends, if you don't ever apologize to them? And this is one thing my husband, he was really strong at it, and he really drilled it in. You know, he's like, I blow it. I know I blow it. I need to apologize to them. You know, don't be so like, well, I'm the mom. I should never. No, we blow it. You know, the kids know you're blowing it. Apologize. Apologize to them. Be real. Be real. Another thing, invest. Invest in their lives. Invest spiritually. And I think it's important for you to obviously pray for them. You pray for them, but also pray with your kids. You know, every day, just to pause at night or whenever they're there, pray with them. Spend some time so that they know, oh, mom's praying with me. And, you know, and ask what, because they have stuff that's burdening their hearts too. Because every night I pray, well, now it's just Katrina, because Dakota's at college, second year of college, and Autumn's married. But with Katrina, and then she'll be like, hey, can you pray for, you know what I mean? And then I know what's on her heart. Can you pray for so-and-so or my friend? You know, her mom passed away. You know, just different things like that. So pray for them, but also pray with them. And then invest emotionally. I mean, hugs. I am not a touchy-feely person. I'm just not, as far as like, I'm not like all over my kids and hugging, and I'm just not that type of, I'm more like, suck it up, you'll be fine. Don't ask my daughter, okay? What's mom's motto? Suck it up, you'll be fine. You know, anyways, but hug. Hug them, notes or texts, like, my son's at college, but I'll just at least once. I try not to bug him every day because I know he's a son, so I'm trying not to be the hover mom, you know, like, I'm thinking about you every day, but I'll text, you know, at least a couple of times, like, hey, praying for you, hope you have a good Sunday, you know, hope good, you know, just send them texts, send them notes, okay? And then this is important too, ladies, remember they belong to God, okay? We heard that every good and perfect gift is from God. He gave them to us. So make sure you give them back to God. Realize this is where they came from, and do not stand between them and God's will. I've seen it happen, and it rips my heart out. We have, you know, a situation I can think of right now. A young man called to preach and was going to go to Bible college, and because mom wanted, you need to get a good job first and make some money. He's not even in church right now, ladies. And I'm not trying to scare you and say this is what, but I'm just saying that can happen. You know what I mean? So be so very careful. You know, remember it's God, and trust them to God. This is a little piece of advice for all you out there that are not almost empty nesters, and you have those toddlers. This too shall pass, okay? This is a piece of advice when I see those young parents shaking their heads going, is there ever going to be a time when I'm not literally thanking them all day long? I'm like, yes, this too shall pass. Believe me, I know, and they can't. They just look at me like I'm crazy, and only the ladies who have, you know, not toddlers will understand. This is the easy time of life. I'm just telling you right now, changing all those diapers, slapping their hand and telling them no, it is so much easier than dealing with, you know, teenagers and, okay, who's that? No, what's the, no, don't, what are you doing following that? Oh, no, who talked to you on, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay, this too shall pass. Okay. So, grandmothers, I am not in the season of life yet. No hint. Okay, you are... I had this in my notes before. She surprised. Okay, this side note. My birthday was Monday, so she FaceTimed me and said, happy birthday, Mom. Well, your birthday present's going to be delayed. I'm your birthday present. I'm like, okay. You know, I'm like, okay. Well, that's great. I'm glad you're my daughter. And she's like, I'm coming to see you. So I was like, oh, you know, anyway. So I had this in my notes, so I'm not trying to jab, you know, because she's married now and all that. So anyways, no, I'm patient and waiting. But I do love to tell the story. I don't know how to be a grandma, so that part's not in that season yet. But I love this story to illustrate how important, how essential you are in your grandkids' life. A former pastor's wife of bygone days at our church, a lady named Mrs. Gosnell. Sadly, she passed away a couple months after my husband became pastor, and I didn't get to know her well, and I only got to talk to her a few times because her health was really bad. But she left behind such an amazing testimony of investing in her grandkids. So she took every opportunity as they were growing up to babysit them, to have them at her house, to make sure they were in church. Even though her son and his wife were not in church, Mrs. Gosnell made sure her grandkids. So we'll fast forward to today. One of them is our youth director, And the other one with her husband is over our junior church. And I look at them and I go, wow. Because if anybody could have had a reason, because mom and dad, it was grandma that made, come on, where are you guys? You need to be in church. And she, on purpose, watched them as much as she could, be their nanny, babysitter while mom was working, so she could just influence and influence. And I'm like, it paid off, ladies. So it's important. You are important, grandma. So you may say, I'm not a wife. I'm not a mom. I'm not a grandma. But you're a lady in the church, and you are essential to your church. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last year, the theme for our mother-daughter banquet was individually unique, together complete. And I know we talked about this earlier, but I wanted to kind of break it down and apply it to how essential you are at your own church. So get to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going, it's very familiar verses, I'm sure, down to verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them. Did you notice that, ladies? Every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. So I did write this in. Ask Miss Robin how important it is to have two working arms and hands planning a ladies' meeting anytime. Okay, and it's your right, you know, your dominant. Every body part is essential. Just try living without one, even for a day, and you'll realize how important that little toe is that you broke because it hurts every step. And I didn't, I may have in the past. I mean, the littlest things. But it's just like us. We each have an essential place at our church. You may feel like, all I do is come in and sit in the pew. But you're in the pew, and someone might just look over and go, oh, there's so-and-so. She's always there. You don't ever know. You do not know. We have an essential place in our church, and when we're not in our place, there's a hole. And you're wherever you're a member of the church puzzle, when you're not in your spot, there's a hole there. And you are missed. We are an essential piece. We are each an essential piece in God's work in our church. When you're not there, a part is missing. Therefore, a part of the work is not being done. Let me just say this, too. Don't hide your talent. Okay? Be willing to use it for the Lord. Don't hide your talent. And also, in the same aspect, don't hinder God from using you beyond your talent. Like, well, I don't really have a gift there, so I'm not doing it. Okay, let me illustrate. Do you know three things that I struggle with? Three things that I would say, that is not in my wheelhouse. That's not my comfy zone. That's not, so therefore I don't need to do it, right? Meeting new people. Public speaking. Dealing with food for large crowds. Do you know how often I have to do all three of those as a pastor's wife? Meeting new people every week. Speaking every month because we have a monthly ladies' meeting. Several times throughout the year. I'm good with 10. You give me a meal for 10 people, got it. Do you know how that does not come in handy for church functions? There's always more than 10. You know what I mean? About planning food. But just because I'm not comfortable does not mean, so I'm just saying, a lot of times we're like, well, I'm not gifted in that. I don't have a gift for cleaning toilets. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, okay? I'm not really good with teaching Sunday school. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, you definitely use your talent, but don't go like, okay, here I am, God. As long as you stay in this box, I'm good. You know what I mean? So don't hinder God from using, because you have no clue what he might have in store for you. We are his. Remember, we are his. So don't hinder him from working. So remember, together we are complete. So where you're at in your church, together you're complete. That implies when you're not there, your church is incomplete. Just like a missing piece on a puzzle, like she talked about last night, the picture's not complete. So you are essential. You are important. So in closing, I want us to back out and take a look at the big picture from a different perspective. I want you to view your life, your whole life, as a giant puzzle. Your puzzle and your name, this is your name, you know, you're the name of the puzzle, the Dana puzzle, the Dina puzzle, whatever. View it like that. It's being designed by God. Then realize when you don't show up or you fail to do the responsibility that God's put in your life or you take a break from doing, oh, it's not so like going to church or whatever it might be, there's a hole now in your puzzle. So start picture missing pieces, like God's, the big picture he has for you, there's missing pieces. So you're like, okay, I'm viewing it, and whew, there's all kinds of holes. I have blown it. What do I do now? You know what I mean? Like, I can't go back. We can't go back in the past, can we? So what do we do? So I'm going to give you some things. First, realize you're not alone. And I know how this is. You come in, you see the people on the platform, you see different ladies in your church, and you're like, wow, they are so spiritual. Like, they've never blown it. They don't know. But can I just say, look around. Wherever you're at, name any person here and say, yep, they would. We all have. We all have blown it. So realize you are not alone. And in all the times we get in a big group like this and we're like, yeah, but they've not messed up like I have. No, we've all blown it. We've all failed sometime in our life to trust God. And then realize you're not alone. Run to God and His Word for help. Okay? He's the only one that knows how to make life work. He is the author of it. He's the maker of it. And His Word has answers for whatever we face. So use God's Word to reset your thinking and your actions, because that's where it starts at, right? We have to start realizing, I am important to God. He does have a purpose for me. So reset that. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Take the yuck out, the lies that the devil has, and replace it. Don't just try to take out. Don't just put off. The Bible is very clear to put back on. So rid out the lies of the devil, but fill it with the truth of God's Word. So reset it. Okay, so turn to Hebrews 11 and then put a marker in Matthew 1. It's the last two things we're going to look at. Hebrews 11 and then put a marker in Matthew 1. I love that God doesn't just do men Bible examples. Don't you love that? That He includes ladies too, so that we can like, oh, yeah, ooh. Yeah, I've been where she's been. You know, I'm so thankful that He gave us examples of women in the Bible. A few months ago, my husband preached a message, and I've heard so many messages on Hebrews 11. I mean, if you've been in church any length of time, you know you've heard Hall of Faith, Hall of Faith, Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11. But he brought out an interesting thing. So when you look at Hebrews 11 and you read through there, realize this isn't a chapter about men and women who lived their whole life full of faith. And I think Messina kind of went on that a little bit last night, too. Like, they never did anything wrong. They always trusted God. That's why they're in the Hall of Faith. No, it's examples of people who, like us, they faced a choice at a point in their life, a crossroads, so to speak. Am I going to trust God here now, or am I going to take the easy road, or the road that makes sense to me? Like, yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't see how that's going to work. I don't see the big, you know, on that. No, they, and that should give us hope, because like all those names listed in Hebrews 11, they blew it, but then they had a choice right here. Am I going to trust God? And they did. And then we get to see, you know, the rest of the story and how that God used them. So let's look. There's a couple of ladies I want to point out in here who, just like us, they failed God, but then God gave them a point in their life. They realized, I can trust God here, or I can keep doing what makes sense to me or go my own way. And because they trusted God, wow. Then we get to see the big picture, because we get to see the, you know, the end of the story. But down to verse 11, Hebrews 11:11 is Sarah. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So I dare say all of us know the story of Sarah. What gets me is I went through the Women of Bible a couple years ago with my ladies. And Sarah, that, you know, God's like, I'm going to give you, so He promised Abraham, seed so much that it's like the sand. You can't even number it. But they couldn't, I mean, Sarah's waiting just for one. Lord, I just want one baby. And you're going to be like, innumerable? I can't even have one. I mean, you know what I mean? I just want one. And it's like, until she was way past the age of impossibility, okay? And we know Sarah, you know the story. She did not trust God her whole life. Sarah tried to do it her own way. And hence, we still have that did not work well. That was not what God said. He didn't say the handmaid. He said you, Sarah. So she failed. She failed God many times as a wife. Okay, she did. She failed God. But she faced an unbelievable situation with faith, because she trusted God. Because it says that. She judged him faithful who had promised. God, I know you're going to fall. You're going to come through. You're faithful. So she failed many times. She faced an unbelievable situation, but her future was forever changed. So flip over to Matthew 1. Her future was forever changed because she was willing to trust God. I know you're faithful, even though there is no possibility apart from God for this happening. She judged. Yeah, she trusted God with the future. Matthew 1:1-2, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. Do you see that? It's like, boom, son of David, son of Abraham. Sarah was the mom. So, I mean, like, the picture was just like, wow. She didn't know that. Did she know way back then that in what, however many years later, this genealogy is going to be the Messiah, the Christ? I'm going to be right in there. So the other lady, go down to Hebrews 11:31, it's Rahab. And I know this story is not quite as familiar, but Joshua sent spies into Jericho, okay, to spy out the land. Rahab hid the spies and then covered for them. Because remember, the guys were coming and saying, hey, we heard spies, and they're like, oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? She spared them. And because she did, the spies promised. Her, Rahab, and whoever was in her house were the only people that survived. The only people survived that. But it says in there, I didn't write the verses down, but if you go back and read the story in Joshua, it says, we've heard. Now, we've heard about you. We've heard about your God and that he is awesome and amazing. So it wasn't just like, hey, can you save us? It was like, I'm trusting in your God. So verse 31 says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And so it goes without saying that she had a horrible, sinful past. It's Rahab the harlot. We know what she did for a living, gals. Very horrible, sinful past, but she put her hope in God's redemption. I mean, she knew, I blew it, and there's no way I can go. I can't undo what I've done, but I'm trusting in your God, a hope in God's redemption, and I love this, honor of a godly lineage. So go back to Matthew, honor of a godly lineage. Matthew 1, 5 through 6, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Does that name sound familiar, gals? And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David, the king, and David, the king, begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. What a beautiful picture and puzzle that God puts together here. So we have Rahab, who's a harlot, but she chooses to trust God. She becomes the mother of Boaz. We all know that story, Boaz and Ruth, don't we? And Boaz marries Ruth, who was a Moabite, lived an unholy life, but without God, but she chose to trust in God and leave it all and come with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And then Ruth becomes the great-grandmother of King David. How amazing is that? And also notice a side note that Bathsheba is also included in this lineage of Christ. So we have a harlot, a Moabite, an adulteress. Can we just say that God's grace is greater than all our sin? From the worst of us to the best of us, God can pick us up and use us. His grace is truly amazing. And one thing I do want to say, because there is a great imbalance of grace happening right now, and not the grace she was talking about last night, and not this grace that's here. God's grace is amazing, but it is not a free ticket to live how you want, to justify whatever sin you got going on in your life. No, God's grace is so amazing that it should make us want, I want to please him. It's not about what I want, how I want to do this, how I want to dress, how I want to look, how I want to live my life. God's grace is so amazing. Don't misuse it. You know what I mean? Grace is greater than our sin, not a ticket to sin, but a hallelujah that he will forgive us and that there's none of us beyond his help. There's not, you know, his grace is amazing. So we are precious, individually unique, equal children of God that are essential pieces in his puzzle. You are an essential piece. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just want to come before you again and just say thank you. Thank you for your grace in my life and in the lives of all these ladies, Lord. It's just thank you that your grace is so greater than anything that can happen to us, or what we face tomorrow. We can get up tomorrow knowing, trusting you that your grace is there and it never runs out. And, Lord, that we have equal access to it. Lord, just thank you for that. Thank you for these ladies taking off time out of very busy schedules and squirreling away time to get away. Thank you for these pastors' wives who took the effort to bring their ladies here. Just thank you for that, Lord, and thank you for your grace to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and turn to page 488.